everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, where every weekend we're here. Chris, we're doing life together.
That's right. As always, it's great to be here on the Dr. Linda Mental Show. And Dr. Linda, we've heard the phrase, it's better to give than receive. We've all heard that. That actually comes from the Bible in Acts 20:35, where Paul tells us to remember the words of Jesus who said, it's more blessed to give than receive. And today we're going to tell you why that is as we discuss the benefits of giving.
So the idea of being more blessed by giving seems a little bit counterintuitive, doesn't it?
It does, right.
Yeah. So one would think that if you're on the receiving end of gifts or somebody giving you something, that you would be feeling better. But
right.
Jesus just turns that all around, and he gives us a very different command. And as we'll see later, his directive teaches us to be blessed by giving. And then we'll find out, as we talk a little bit longer in the show, that there's some physical benefits and actually some mental health benefits to giving as well.
A lot of what Jesus did was counterintuitive.
Love your enemies.
Yeah.
I mean, we can think of lots of times. This is one of those. It's more blessed to give than receive.
Turn the other cheek. What? What's he talking
exactly.
about? According to the annual Tooth Fairy Survey.
Oh, wait, there's a Tooth Fairy, annual Tooth Fairy Survey?
In fact, there is, yeah. And check this out. The Tooth Fairy is delivering, on average, $3 per tooth.
Wow.
It's 15% more than last year. And with some children hitting the jackpot, they receive as much as, are you ready, $20 a tooth.
Ooh.
And the Tooth Fairy is only one of many ways that we are possibly overindulging our children. At $3 a tooth, we are.
Is that for cost of living that went up with the Tooth Fairy?
Possibly, yeah.
Well, there's a site that analyzes spending budgets. It's a site called Bundle. And they rated American cities and looked at the ones that spoiled children the most. And they do this by looking at household spending on things like toys and clothing and things that you would buy for your kids and some kind of kids services, you know, like toddler mini petties. That's the, you've never done that with a toddler?
No.
And then there's like the 150 person catered birthday parties and hotel ballrooms.
Unbelievable.
Is that going to be your next party for your
child? Doubt it.
Child?
If I don't get a birthday party like that, the kids don't get one, that's for sure.
But there's a lot of overspending. And so they looked at which cities in America are spending the most.
Well, we're not saying this is necessarily good. But do you want to know who the winners were?
Yeah, which cities made the list?
New York City and Brooklyn topped the list as child spoilers.
Okay.
And other cities at the top of the list included Miami, Minneapolis, Tulsa, Dallas, Atlanta, and Los Angeles. Get this, Brooklyn introduced the word baby chinos.
Baby chinos.
Yeah, definitely. It's a thing.
It's a thing.
It's a drink of hot milk that's that's been frothed up with pressurized steam intended for children. This is even better. There's also a puppy chino available for your dog.
Is it like cappuccino? Is that the idea?
Apparently,
it's like frappuccino, cappuccino. Because that's what you do. You would froth up the milk, right?
Yeah.
So you do this for babies. Like the toddler's really going to understand this.
Right.
Especially your pet.
Oh, yeah, the dog.
Your dog would really get this. One of those cities was our listening area in Minneapolis.
Right,
so beware spoilers in Minneapolis. This show's for you. Well, I don't know. The pretend cappuccino is kind of a something I'm going to have to think about. You know, I would worry that a child would burn her mouth on that hot milk.
Right.
So are all those cash toys and clothes and foamy pretend coffees we've been talking about really making our children happy? So that's the question. And the answer is no. According to a recent study by psychologists at the University of British Columbia, young children are happier to give than to receive. Wow, that's what the Bible says. In the study, toddlers who were asked to give away their own treats as well as extra treats showed greater happiness about sharing their own possessions, which suggests that the act of personally giving something, sacrificing something of yours, was emotionally rewarding for children.
Right. It's amazing. I think the joy of helping others is really part of our human nature. And maybe we need to train children to feel good about giving. They are altruistic anyway.
It isn't just young children. There was a 2008 study with students that found that spending money on others led those students to feel happier than when they would spend money on themselves. And the giving didn't have to be extravagant. In that study, they gave as little as $5. And if they spent that on others, they felt better and felt emotionally happier.
Dr. Linda, you have another study that might help parents say no to this kid's being on the receiving end all the time.
In a 2010 study titled Money Giveth, Money Taketh Away. I need to have good titles like that. Yeah, that's a really good title. The researcher and his colleagues found evidence that if you have access to the best things in life, that might actually undermine the ability to get enjoyment from life's small pleasures. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, and it makes sense because how many times have you heard parents grouse that their kids are ungrateful?
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, these kids, they don't know what they've got.
They don't appreciate.
Right. Maybe giving them too much is undermining, like you said, their gratitude, and we aren't helping them be appreciative of what they have.
So I remember one year, Chris, I was with a family at Christmas, and there were like so many packages under their Christmas tree.
Right.
And it was like way, way over the top. There were two kids and we were visiting. So we just sat there and had to watch these kids open presents, and they were ripping through these presents. Yeah. I mean, they'd open it up, throw it to the side. They didn't even look at it and on to the next one. And I just remember thinking, wow, I mean, this is a little bit over the top.
Sounds like we need to make some changes when living in abundance, as we do, if we want to help our children.
So giving and teaching our children to give is one of the ways that we can do this, which is why we're talking about this today. We know giving helps others, but we may not know how much giving can actually help us. So giving is good for the giver.
And I would assume, since we've talked about how the mind and body is so connected on this show so often, that giving has physical benefits to the body as well.
You're getting very osteopathic there with mind and body. Spirit. That's the osteopathic way where I teach. So studies show that giving lowers your blood pressure. And when you have interactions with others, so when you're giving to other people, like we see a lot of times after a natural disaster, or unfortunately when we see terrorism or something like the shootings we've been seeing, when people go the extra mile to help, what happens is people recover better from illnesses, such as like coronary related diseases. So giving helps you physically. And a University of California, Berkeley study found that people 55 and older who volunteered for two or more organizations were 44% less likely to die over a five-year period than those who didn't volunteer. So even when they looked at factors like smoking and exercise and all those things, people lived longer.
Sort of like exercise helps release, what is it, serotonin or the type
endorphins into
your brain. Does giving do that as well?
It does. It hits that reward pleasure, which we'll talk about a little bit later, but good physical benefits from giving.
Right. Well, you heard it here. Young or old, giving has many benefits. It lowers blood pressure and lengthens your life. We're just getting started with the benefits of giving on the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Stay with us as we continue our conversation. Hey, it's Chris from the Dr. Linda Mental Radio Show. Dr. Linda's latest book is titled Living Beyond Pain. It gives practical tools to anyone who is living with chronic pain and wants to get his or her life back on track. Recently, Dr. Linda's listeners had questions about pain, and she answers those questions with tips from her book, Living Beyond Pain.
Hey, Dr. Linda, when I'm in pain, I feel like it's hard to ignore, and so I think about it a lot. Is it true that the more I pay attention to my pain, I'm making it worse?
If you pay attention to pain, it makes pain worse. What happens in the brain is that if you say to the brain that something is important, and the way you do that is by attending to it, you pay attention to something that's important, the brain goes, oh, this is important. I need to pay attention to that. The more you focus on the pain, the worse it gets. So the easiest way to deal with that is to find ways to distract yourself from the pain.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever taken your kids to the pediatrician and they had to get a shot?
Oh, yes.
Well, a lot of times what they do, and you probably haven't noticed it, is that they're distracting the child. They're either talking to the child, a lot of times on their wall.
Right.
They'll have a little picture or something they're pointing to and they'll say, look at this. So they're distracting the child away from the focus of the shot onto something else. The reason they're doing that, Chris, is because if they distract the child, the pain won't be as bad.
I see.
So attention to pain makes it worse. Distraction away from the pain will help your pain go down.
What if you really have a problem, like let's say a pulled muscle that needs to actually be dealt with? At what point do you say, I should go see a doctor?
Well, you have to attend to the fact that you are having pain and you need to know what the root causes are. And the great part about the book is that Dr. Cribbs, who is a physician, talks about the different types of pain, medical treatment of pain, what you need to do from a medical point of view. Mm-hmm. But when you're dealing with chronic pain, which happens after the healing has already happened,
right,
you can make pain worse by constantly attending to it. So that's where we're talking about distraction. Get your mind off of it, do something else. And you will notice that you get engaged in an activity and suddenly you think, oh, I wasn't thinking about my pain.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't hurt as bad.
Right.
So distraction, one of the number one techniques that you can use to make your pain go down.
Hey, thanks, Dr. Linda. If you would like a copy of Dr. Linda Mental's book, Living Beyond Pain, go to drlindamental.com, or you can find Living Beyond Pain anywhere books are sold online. You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and remember, you can listen to this program on the podcast anytime at myfaithradio.com, and check out Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com, and her blogs and links to social media. Join her on Twitter at Dr. Linda Helps, Facebook, Dr. Linda Mental Author and Speaker, and Instagram at Dr. Linda Mental.
Yeah, do you remember all that? Just go to my website. You'll see all the little icons, and you can just click on those.
It takes a third of the show to cover the social media aspect.
But you're giving to people.
That's true.
And that's what we're doing. We're giving them resources.
Right. We're talking about giving today.
That's right.
Well, let's continue. And we were talking about the benefits of giving before the break. Let's keep talking about that.
Well, here's a great story, Chris. You might have heard this story because I did pick this up when it happened. There is a Detroit resident named James Robertson, and he found himself in the spotlight after people learned about his daily commute.
Hmm.
So he's a 56-year-old who used to walk to work 21 miles. I just can't even wrap my brain around that, right?
Right.
He took two bus rides to get to his factory job. So he was, spending a lot of time, obviously, trying to get to work. And he was earning about $10 an hour. So this really tough commute that took about 2 hours to get there, and he had very little sleep as a result of this. Well, what happened is the Detroit Free Press, which is the paper in that town, one of the papers, reported this, and a 19-year-old college student started a crowdfunding project on GoFundMe. Isn't that great?
Right.
To buy him a car. And donors ended up giving him more than $350,000. Boy, he could have gotten a good car for that, right?
Really?
Wow. So here's a cool part of it. A Ford dealership also gave him a new Taurus. Because they loved this story about how dedicated this guy was. And Robertson said he wanted the Taurus because it's like me, simple on the outside, strong on the inside. Don't you love that story?
Well, honestly, I used to own a Taurus.
Yeah.
He's right.
He's right. Okay, so, good.
Right.
Good.
That's amazing. It's an amazing
story. It is an amazing story.
Well, this type of giving also helps the giver's mental health.
Yeah. So researchers have found that people who give their time to help others. So it doesn't always have to be money. But if you give your time through community, and if you're involved in an organization, people that do that have greater self-esteem, and they have less depression, and they lower their stress levels than people who don't give of their time. So that's a great reason to give right there.
Yeah, no kidding. That study is focused on giving of your time, not just money. It seems a lot harder for people to do. Some ways it's easier just to write a check. Poof, I'm done.
The stress and the pressures that people are feeling in everyday life leads people to just want to go and get sanctuary in their home. And don't you hear a lot of people saying that? I just want to get off of work. I just want to go home. It's like we have this retreat mentality because of the stress of the day. But there are a lot of people who don't have a home to go to and don't have a nice place to retreat to. So I know that I don't always want to get out there and do stuff.
Right.
I can talk myself out of that really fast, but when I force myself to volunteer or to do something, I always feel so much better. Isn't that the case? We do it and then we go, wow, I'm so glad I did that. I'm so glad I forced myself to do it.
Well, we've talked about the physical and mental benefits. There are other benefits to giving.
I know. It just keeps going on. Giving keeps giving, right? Right.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Right? Yeah. So interestingly, you kind of mentioned this in the first segment that we experience pleasure when we give. So giving does activate the pleasure centers of the brain. So you mentioned endorphins. We talked about endorphins. And actually the dopamine, which is that reward part of the brain, giving is better than a night out in the town or a new outfit. So when we give, what happens is these feel-good chemicals in our brains begin to secrete. And serotonin is one you mentioned. That's a mood-mediating chemical. Mm-hmm. The dopamine that I mentioned is that reward part, that feel-good chemical that's in the brain.
Right.
And then there's one, a hormone called oxytocin. And that is a compassion and bonding chemical. So think about that. It's hitting your mood. It's making you feel good. And it's making you feel bonded with other people.
You could call it a helper's high.
You could.
You get the biologically, you get the, you know, a warm glow.
The warm glow
right, yeah.
from giving, you do. And you also feel a greater sense of satisfaction with life in
right.
general. And it brings more meaning to your life. I think when you see that what you're doing is helping somebody or it matters, for a lot of people, this gives people purpose when they're helping other people. So your blessings can really bless other people. The other day, I decided to go through my clothes. And I was changing seasons, and honestly, I felt bad. I couldn't believe how many clothing articles I had when I was changing the wardrobe, and a lot of it is stuff I don't wear.
Right.
I don't know if you do this, but I hang on to clothing that I liked from like 10 years ago. I have this leather coat with the big, shoulder pads in it.
Oh, wow.
It's like probably from the 90s or
yeah.
the 80s. I know I'll never wear it again, but I can't get rid of it for some reason.
You should not wear it again.
But I shouldn't. Stop me.
Right.
You know what? I need to go find that coat, put it on, and put it on Instagram.
Exactly.
So people
right.
can see that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Here's what I was doing. I was kind of like struggling. Should I give that away? And then mm-hmm. I kind of slapped myself and said,
right.
you know what? I'm not going to wear this stuff again. Somebody else could wear it. Now, I'm not saying it was all out of style.
Mm-hmm.
I just had some things that I'm not going to wear.
Right.
And so I put it in a bunch of bags and I got rid of it and gave it to Goodwill because I thought this is selfish of me to hang on to things when I know somebody else could wear it.
There's that fear that you might give something away and then you might need it.
But how often does that really happen?
It never happens. Because if you haven't worn something for more than 2 years, you're probably okay to get rid of it.
Yeah, I think that was the issue. So
right.
I'm really convicted by that verse that says, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also."
Wow.
That's the verse in Matthew 6, 19 through 21. And then later in Matthew, it goes on to say, "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God."
Right. Jesus literally had nothing. He had the robe that he wore. It makes sense because he was heaven-minded.
Yeah.
We certainly understand this verse, but we don't always obey it. It's like we're giving up our security when we give things away, especially when we talk about giving away money. We enjoy our lifestyles.
Yeah, I think we do. And so we need to think about sacrificial giving. When we do it, it forces us then to trust God and to put our security in Him. You're right. There's a lot of us that have a lot of comfort, and we need to think about what can we do, especially when the holidays are around. How
right.
can we help other people? So let's go back a little bit, though, Chris, to this connection of giving and happiness again. I want to talk about a Harvard study in which the researchers gave shoppers money to either spend it on themselves or to spend it on somebody else. And the amounts they gave the shoppers were between like $5 and $20, so we're not talking huge amounts of money. But when they were surveyed later that day, the dollar amounts didn't matter. So whether they had gave away $5 or $20,
right.
but those who had spent money on others rated their mood better than those who spent it on themselves. So
yep.
what's interesting about this is that once our basic needs are met, income level doesn't seem to affect our overall happiness.
Hmm.
It's kind of hard to believe
because
you think about all these celebrities and all the money that people have, but you think about it doesn't make people happy necessarily. So those who give a higher percentage of their assets away tend to be happier overall.
The benefits of giving: lower blood pressure, longer life, happiness, less depression, less stress, and the experience of pleasure, all benefits of giving. And there's more. Stay with us after the break as we continue our conversation on the benefits of giving right here on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Conflict is a part of every healthy relationship. How you deal with conflict is what will either grow or destroy relationships. Do you avoid? Maybe you become highly emotional and then regret what you said or did. Getting control of our emotions is not always easy, but it is possible. Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mental, and I wrote the book, We Need to Talk, in order to help all of us deal better with conflict. We Need to Talk, available at bookstores and online where books are sold.
This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and we hope you continue listening to the show each weekend. But if you miss us, remember you can listen to the podcast on myfaithradio.com or go to Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com, and click on the link and follow her social media. And every week, you tweet a few comments from our upcoming shows to tease the listeners.
I do. And a lot of people see those tweets. So I thought you were going to list that whole thing of where all my social media was again.
Yeah, we did that once already.
Yeah, once is enough, right? Well, let's get back to the topic of giving. Giving requires faith, and it requires trust in God to provide for us, right? In our families when we're giving. So this is something we want to model for our children. Now, we've done this with our tithes. This was really important to us when our kids were small and growing up to teach our kids to tithe at an early age. And what we did is we explained to our kids that the tithe isn't our money. It belongs to God. And so we would take it right off the top of the paycheck. And it was important for our children to see us, I think, doing this so that they then began to also begin to give their small offerings at church. And they were being obedient with their finances. So have you talked to your kids about tithing?
We have. And one thing we do is we broadcast it a little bit. You know, we don't make a big flash and flare about writing the check.
Right.
But we make sure that they know that, hey, there's mom and dad putting in a percentage of what they earned.
I think that's a teaching. You have to teach them. You have to show them. That's what my parents did. They showed us that they tithe, and so did Norm's parents. So I think that's an important lesson to teach. Well, listen, giving really does show the heart of God, and that's what they're seeing, as God gave his only son. And you could tie it in for your kids and say, as God gave us Jesus, which was a very sacrificial gift for our good, then we turn around and we give to others. So it was a very painful sacrifice that he had to do by giving his son. But look at the benefit that we're all reaping of the gospel message.
You know, recently a friend of mine put on Facebook that his house was virtually destroyed from a burst pipe in the wall.
That's a mess when that happened.
Destroyed the entire house. It gave us an opportunity to help out, you know, with a financial gift. And you're not really bragging about it, but you tell your kids, here's what we're going to do. So they see the giving type thing modeled.
And then how did you feel? Because we've been talking about that. How did you feel when you gave that gift?
That was great.
There is something about that that just makes us feel good. And we're so blessed that we have the ability to do that and to help others.
Well, according to 2 Corinthians 2:7, our attitude towards giving needs to be cheerful. This makes God happy.
I know.
Makes us happy.
I know.
Too.
We got told that verse all the time when I was a kid. Be a cheerful giver, right? I got to tell this story on my daughter. I remember the first time she got her first grown-up paycheck, and she couldn't believe how much the government took out of her check. And she's, you know, this single young woman. Mm-hmm. And so she's looking at this and going, oh my goodness. And then she's calculating her tithe on top of that. And she goes, man, it's like you make this much, but you only have this much. I'm like, yeah welcome to grown-up life. But it was really good for her to be obedient to that. And we talked about being cheerful about it. I think it took her a few times to get cheerful about that. But if you have the right spirit, giving can really be an act of worship. As David sang in Psalm 116, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? So as we give to God, we're thanking him for his goodness and his gifts.
You know, you were talking about how Katie, the first time, had to get used to that. But I've heard giving is like a muscle. Mm. And the more you do it, it becomes easier and easier, and then you can reap more benefits. And it's easy to become a cheerful giver when you do it all the time.
That's good. I like that.
Well, James 1:17 tells us that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father.
So our Father has a very large heart, doesn't he? Mm. And he's calling us to imitate him in this way. And one way you can show others God is to just give generously. That can be the face of God to somebody else.
Right. Well, as we near the end of the show, we have a few more heartwarming stories to encourage our listeners in the area of giving.
So we found these online and they're great. So a homeless man named Shelby Huggins spent hours pushing strangers' cars that were stuck in a snowstorm in Colorado. A stranger who was watching this man's actions set up another one of those GoFundMe. Everybody, a lot of people do this, but it's great, to help him find a place to live. And so donors contributed about $22,000. Mm. The guy said, hey, the world needs more people like this young man, wrote one donor who gave $20. He was so excited that a young man would think to help that person who was needing that help.
You know, that's one thing about the internet is it does give you some separation. So in a way, it's easy to say, hey, there's a need. Click, click.
Yeah.
There's the gift.
So, yeah, that's true.
A Texas man named Larry Clark stopped in at a Chicken Express drive-thru after a busy day of holiday shopping last December, only to find that his credit card was declined. It seemed he did so much shopping that day that the credit card company got alarmed and put his spending on hold, which I have had happen. And it's appreciated, but it's also annoying.
Watch your spending.
Right. A young cook working in the back pulled out his personal credit card and paid for Clark's dinner. And according to the Daily Light, Clark gathered a group of people, including the cook's parents, at the restaurant nearly 2 months later to say thank you.
Oh.
And he gave the cook a $50 gift certificate. And why did he do this? Just to tell him, don't stop being a good guy.
Oh, I love that. Okay, so here's one of the red kettles that Salvation Army in Boston, this is a story about the one in Boston over the holidays. There was a widow, and again, I remember seeing this story on the news. A widow had deposited a $1,850 engagement ring and wedding band along with a note. Put a note in there.
Yeah.
The anonymous woman said she wanted to donate the ring to honor her husband's memory. And she said, I'm hoping there's someone out there who made lots of money this year and will buy the ring for 10 times its worth. That's what she wrote in the note.
Wow.
So the donation inspired another Massachusetts widower to donate $21,000 to the Salvation Army in hopes that the ring set could be returned to the original owner. Boston.com reported, though, that the owner did not come forward and get the ring. But what a cool story.
Well, I hope the ring was used then somehow.
Yeah, I don't know what they did with that.
Beth Hughes is a stay-at-home mother in Oklahoma, and she was about to pay the grocery store cashier for the food for her family's Thanksgiving dinner one November when a customer tapped her on the shoulder and said, ma'am, I'm going to buy your groceries. The woman stepped in and swiped her card, paying the $214 grocery bill, and then left. And according to KJRH-TV, Hughes said she was so shocked that she can't remember if she said thank you or not. She shared the story on Facebook and said her friends, they were encouraged to do the same.
Oh, so a little pay it forward for other people there. And then here's one more. Hazel Hammersley was staying at the Children's Hospital Los Angeles in 2013 to get treatment for a fast-growing tumor in her abdomen. To lighten the mood, the two-year-old's mother spelled out, send pizza, with masking tape on the window of her hospital room.
All right.
A photo of the sign made its way to the Reddit website, and users there sent more than 20 pizzas to her hospital room. The hospital eventually had to request that pizza delivery stop. So the best surprise for Hazel came last May, however, when doctors said her scans were clear and they showed no evidence of cancer.
Oh, wow.
So as we come to a close of this show on giving, and we enter a giving season in our culture, I would encourage you to clean out a winter closet, buy an extra bag of groceries, and write a check for a worthy organization. Pay your tithes so your church can operate in the black. Not only will you be helping others, but you are storing eternal rewards along with the satisfaction of helping others. It is more blessed to give than receive. So get out there and see how blessed you can be. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer, Norm Mental, our engineer, and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes the show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Thanks for listening to the Dr. Linda Mental podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Dr. Linda Mental Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mental Show.